We extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be shared at the close of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
God uses all kinds of people to do His work. Don't count yourself out. That's the theme for my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we pray that we may listen carefully to your prophet of old, as he reminds us that sometimes the person less known is the one with the strongest voice in the heart of an individual. So grant, O God, that we may take a look at ourselves and see where we really fit in to this whole proclamation of the Word of God in our day. Speak to us through your holy word, for it is in your name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 7th chapter of the prophet Amos. I begin to read at verse 12. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amon answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and stop preaching against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says: Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land." Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, God leaves no stone unturned to reach his people. He loves us, he blesses us, he forgives us, he chastises us. He makes his presence known when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and the day is very difficult. Our Father, on the other hand, walks with us as he leads us beside still waters, and all is quiet and peaceful as our souls are at rest. God uses the technology of our day as he brings the message of Jesus Christ to our living rooms through some of the most gifted servants in the history of the church. I wonder if it can be said that anyone in the United States has not had an opportunity to hear the gospel message, at least with physical ears, if not with the ears of their hearts. For a generation, our nation has had the privilege of listening to Billy Graham as God's spokesman. This evangelist has the gift of making the gospel so simple that a child can understand that Jesus loves him or her. And yet Mr. Graham is used by God to invade the hearts of some of the world's most powerful leaders. The world as a whole, and America in particular, has been called to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ by Billy Graham. God has raised up in our midst great preachers of his word. In my youth, it was the voice of Walter Meyer bringing Christ to the nation, the Lutheran Hour. God used this man in addressing our land. How he was gifted by God to spell out the way of salvation so clearly that people of all kind were brought face to face with Jesus Christ. It was Dr. Meyer who warmed my heart as a teenager. In our day, another great preacher has touched my heart, and I hope he has touched yours too if you've had an opportunity to hear him. He is Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie, one of God's well-known expounders of His Word. He has been gifted with a voice and the use of words second to none. His strong message is built on the rock, Christ Jesus. It is Ogilvy who stood for years in the pulpit of the Hollywood Presbyterian Church and preached to the people of his neighborhood. It was this same message that he proclaimed over television until God called him to be the chaplain of the United States Senate. There he has the opportunity to confront 100 powerful people with their opportunities and responsibilities of governing the world's most powerful nation according to God's will. These political leaders may not respond positively to God's word, but they must hear what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is saying to them through the voice of the Chaplain of the Senate, Dr. Lloyd Ogilvy. Let me give you a personal experience with Dr. Ogilvy's ability to proclaim God's word. Not many years ago, our son-in-law was ordained. Together we attended a theological conference after his ordination. It was in the Los Angeles area. On Sunday morning, I suggested to Steve that we go to the Hollywood Presbyterian Church to hear one of the greatest preachers in America. We arrived for the first service. Ogilvy was at his best. When the service was over, Steve asked, "Would you mind staying for the second service? I just want to hear him again." God's voice was very much alive in that congregation on that particular Sunday. A few weeks ago, public television ran a documentary on the life of Dr. Diedrich Bonhoeffer. He was not a great preacher necessarily. Maybe he was that, I don't know. But he was a great theologian, a great mind, a great lecturer. He was another great voice from God. In case you are not acquainted with Diedrich Bonhoeffer's writings, let me introduce him very briefly to you. He was a theologian at Union Seminary, about to rise to great fame in the theological world. But God had other plans for this man. Bonhoeffer left the security of New York and returned to his native Germany, now occupied by the Nazis. There he ministered to the underground church. It was when Hitler attacked the church and its message that Bonhoeffer would not remain quiet, and his strong testimony for Jesus Christ cost this man of God his life. He was hanged on the gallows at Flossenbürg only weeks before the war ended in Europe. Jesus talked about people killing the prophets. It was going on in so-called enlightened Western civilization. The list of international Christian leaders is unlimited. We thank God that He always has some of these voices on the world scene. But today's text tells us about a very ordinary man who became a strong voice for God, and his message lives with us today. His name is Amos. It really is a voice from down on the farm. I don't think he had much formal education. Certainly it must have been limited. He never got to a theological seminary. He was a shepherd and a farmer whom God put his hand on and used. In the days Amos lived, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. Amos lived way down south in Judah, but God called him and he said, "I want you to go to the northern kingdom, and I want you to be my voice among those rebellious people." It was not long before Amos made his presence known. Here is a sample of the prophet's preaching. Can you imagine it? In a very, very formal setting. "You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. I will turn your religious feast into mourning and all your singing into weeping. the days are coming when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Now that's the way that prophet Amos preached. Well, there was an old priest. I am sure that he was very well trained in the theology of his religion. I'm sure that he was considered a great orator and probably one whom the people admired tremendously. He certainly was a good friend of the king whose name was Jeroboam. So when Amaziah, the priest, heard that Amos preached this way, he became disturbed. He didn't want Israel disturbed. After all, everything was going fine. They were a very prosperous people, and the church, as they might know it in that day, it wasn't called the church, but that communion of believers were very happy. And now, this prophet from way down south, untrained, was standing in the midst. And this is what the prophet Amaziah said to Jeroboam. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all these words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from the native land. Now let's stop right here for a moment and draw a picture of what was happening in Israel. Amaziah is a recognized clergyman. He had been trained religiously. However, his calling to be God's voice in the land had been set aside that he might please the king and all the influential people, lest they be disturbed by pointing out their sins. In other words, Amaziah had sold out his conviction to the state. He did not let his message become personal. One could imagine that the priest went through the ritual of the service, which might have talked about confession and repentance on the Lord's Day. But after all the formality was over, the people had given their time, and now they were free to go back into the world and never experience any change in faith or life. Their relationship with God could be completely impersonal, and Amaziah, well paid, would take care of their religious duties. The nation needed a spiritual awakening, but you can be sure it was not going to come through the ministry of Amaziah. Is it possible, friend, is it possible that this might apply to Christianity in America today? Just think about it. Listen to what God says through Amos. I hate your religious feast. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river. I tell you, you say, when the new moon comes, when it's over, then we'll be able to go and sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales. In other words, what is being said here to us today is that Amos is telling them how they're living. Well, you're a religious people, but you cheat, you steal. Your heart has not been captured by God. And I am here as a prophet of God to tell you that unless you repent and turn to Him, you will be led aside in exile. We have a picture here of how corrupt religion can become. God used Amos in his lifetime, and He is using him today as a prophet to speak to His church in the 21st century. When Amos was told by the priest to leave, he replied, "The Lord tells me to stay." Amos was told to proclaim that the people would be punished for their sins, but he also was taught to tell them that when the day comes that they repent, Then they will be restored into the living relationship with their Heavenly Father, and they will go home to live in their homeland. Now, what is unique about this message? It is this one fact that God can use all kinds of people to bring His word to the world. But let us not count ourselves out. God needs Billy Graham. God needs Diedrich Bonhoeffer. God needs Dr. Ogilvy. But God needs a person who is known little about, but who can tell the story of Jesus Christ in a very strong way. Let me give you an example. I had an Uncle Chris. He never married. While Chris never attended church services, his Bible was often open on the kitchen table when we visited him. Several times each year, my mother would prepare a big dinner for Chris. And one day, Dad and I took this meal to Chris and had an interesting conversation with him. He knew that I was preparing to be a minister and had a few choice comments for me about the church. However, Chris was willing to admit that there was one member of the congregation who had no formal education, but who really loved the Lord. His name was Nels Smith. He used to visit Chris and talk to him about the relationship with the Lord. Strange, no pastor ever came to Chris, but Nels was there. I don't know if my uncle ever gave his heart to the Lord, but I believe that Nels Smith was God's most powerful messenger in his life. Uncle Chris made it clear that Nels was not afraid to tell him of his sins and how he needed Christ as his Savior, but he also let him know that God loved him and sent Jesus to be his Savior. Nels Smith was the Amos of his day. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, listen to the great spiritual leaders of the day. But then seek out that person who knows Jesus Christ and ask him to help you. Now, if you know Christ, won't you be an Amos in the life of someone who needs to hear about his or her need for the Savior and what Christ has done for all who trust him? Sure, they need to hear the great preachers. Sure, they need to hear the story of men who were and women who were so courageous they gave their lives for Christ. But God cannot use all kinds of people. Please, friend, don't count yourself out in being an effective witness for Jesus Christ in our day. Amen.
I'd rather
Father in heaven, we pray that the Amoses of our day may have the courage to proclaim the law and the gospel. Help us to understand, O God, what your will is. And even though we may not always have a receptive audience, may these people know that a prophet has been in their midst. We ask your blessings to rest upon us and help us, O God, to understand just a little bit better the marvels of your word and the love of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message heard today will bring you peace and joy in the days to come. If you know someone in your area who might need to hear this program, please share with them the time and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. We extend special greetings to our WTIS listeners in the St. Petersburg, Florida area. If you worshiped with us today, please call 1-888-MY-FAITH and let us know. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. We depend on you, our listeners, for all of our financial support. We thank each of you for your faithful prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.